Madhvadravyamayimarcham Chityam Vadishu Vachayet Abritatma Muni Shanto Yatavan Mitravanya Book Dva by getting Dravyamayim made of physical elements. Archam, worshipable deity. Kshiti, earth. Ambu, water. Adishu, beginning with. Va, or. Achayat, worship. Abhrita Atma, one who is fully self-controlled. Muni, a great personality. Shanta, peacefully. Yatavak, controlling the force of talking. Mitta, frugal. Vanya Book, eating whatever is available in the forest. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is impossible to worship a form of the Lord made of physical elements such as earth, water, pulp, wood, and metal. In the forest, one can make a form with no more than earth and water and worship Him according to the above principles. A devotee who has full control over his self should be very sober and peaceful and must be satisfied simply with eating whatever fruits and vegetables are available in the forest. Translation responsibly. It is possible to worship a form of the Lord.
It is possible to worship a form of the Lord.
Made of physical elements. Such as earth, water, pulp, wood, and metal.
Such as earth, water, pulp.
In the forest, one can make a form with no more than earth.
In the forest, one can make a form with no more than earth.
And water.
And water.
And worship Him according to the above principles.
And worship Him according to the
above principles. A devotee who has full control over his self.
A devotee who has full control over his self.
Should be very sober and peaceful.
Should be very sober and peaceful.
And must be satisfied simply with eating whatever fruits and vegetables are available in the forest.
And must be satisfied simply with eating whatever fruits and vegetables are available in the forest.
Purport. It is essential for a devotee to worship the form of the Lord and not only meditate upon the form of the Lord within his mind with the chanting of a mantra given by the spiritual master. The worship of the form must be present. The impersonalist takes unnecessary trouble to meditate upon or worship something impersonal, and the path is very precarious. We are not advised to follow the impersonalist way of meditating on or worshipping the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to worship a form made of earth and water because, in the jungle, it is not possible to have a form made of metal, wood, or stone. The best process is to take earth mixed with water and make a form of the Lord and worship Him. The devotees should not be anxious about cooking food. Whatever is available in the forest or in the city among the fruit and vegetable groups should be offered to the deity. And the devotees should be satisfied eating that. He should not be anxious to have very palatable dishes. Of course, wherever is possible, one should offer the deity the best foodstuffs, prepared within the category of fruits and vegetables, cooked or uncooked. The important factor is that the devotee should be regulated. Mitta Book. That is one of the good qualifications of a devotee. He should not hanker to satisfy the tongue with a particular kind of foodstuff. He should be satisfied to eat whatever prasad is available by the grace of the Lord. Amagyan Tivadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Relitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Pancha Kalpatu Rupyascha Kripa Sindhupya Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasa Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Rama, Hare Hare. So, Dhruva Maharaj is receiving further instruction from Narada, how to worship Krishna. He's gone to the forest to worship Krishna, but there is material motive. The Bhagavatam says, Akama Sava Kamova Moksha Kamo Dharadi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Then, what is the last line? Purusham. It says that regardless of what the desire is within the heart, we should approach Krishna to fulfill that desire. So if we come towards Krishna, best you come towards Krishna without material desires. That is best. That is called akarma. Akarma means you are without desires. So that is best. If you can approach Krishna and you don't have any desire, you just approach him just to serve him. If you cannot do that, then we should still approach Krishna. But we should not pray to Krishna that our material desires will be fulfilled. Rupa Goswami gives the definition of pure devotional service in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the 11th verse, that is the most important verse in the whole book. It is the Paribhasa Sutra. Or it is the verse which governs the entire book. Anyabhilashita shunyam Gyanakam adyanavritam Anukuyena Krishnanu shilanam Bhakti uttama. So there's a definition of uttama bhakti, kevala bhakti, shuddha bhakti, amala bhakti. All those terms are given in the Vedic literatures. That means pure devotional service. Devotional service must be pure. So, definition of uttama bhakti means pure devotional service. And then the question is, are we performing pure devotional service? What do you think? Is our devotional service pure? Well, you're saying no. You are saying no. You are saying?
Yes, as long as we work under the direction,
we are devoting. Yeah, that's important. Well, by definition, we're performing pure devotional service, uttama bhakti, if we do not act on our material desires. It's not that material desires are not within your heart, because all of us have material desires. If we didn't have material desires, we wouldn't be here in this material world. If you were free from material desires, you would be liberated. You'd see Krishna at this point in time. So it is not that we are free from material desires, but we don't act on them. If we don't act, then that is called uttama bhakti. That's pure devotional service. So we're performing pure devotional service under the direction of the gurus. So that is the definition. So he has come to the forest, but he has a desire. He has a material desire. And so does Savakama Udari. Savakama, that means material desire is there. There is something there. He doesn't want moksha. He doesn't want pure devotional service to Krishna. He wants a material facility. So because he wants a material facility, he has a material desire. But The factor that makes him successful is that he approaches Krishna to fulfill that desire. We should not approach Krishna to fulfill our desire. We should say to Krishna, okay, I have these desires in my heart. If you want to fulfill them, that is your business. But that is not my main impetus to do my service. That is not my motivation to do my service. You know what the desires are. If you fulfill them, not fulfill them, that's up to you. Because it's up to Krishna if he wants to fulfill our desires or not. Sometimes he does fulfill your material desires, other times he doesn't. And the longer you practice devotional service, you realize everything is up to Krishna. You can have a material desire, oh Krishna, I want this, I want that, but Krishna doesn't always give it to you. I've seen in my life, you know, sometimes I have material desires, right? And I try to do my devotional service without doing it, I try not to do it to get something from Krishna, but I recognize the desire is there. And then in due course of time, I've seen sometimes Krishna fulfills and sometimes he doesn't fulfill. So you have to leave it with Krishna, it's up to him. You can't petition Krishna and say, you have to do this for me. So Dhruva Maharaj has gone into the forest. And what does he want? He wants a material facility. But he's approaching Krishna. So then Narada comes. Narada says, okay, to make your service successful, you have to do the following things. So these verses here are describing the Abhideya. What is the Abhideya? The process. How to approach Krishna. What is our process to approach Krishna? Devotional service, yeah. But devotional service has many angas. Where do we find the angas or the limbs of devotional service? Very good. Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah, very good. But then it was taken and then it was expanded. Where do we find it? Very good. What's that? Yeah, but Rupa Goswami took it in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada said this is the law book for ISKCON. And Prabhupada said there are four main books in ISKCON. And one of them is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. It is like one of the pillars. How do we serve Krishna? That is in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Chapter 6 describes there are how many items of bhakti? How many angas? 64. So if you look here in this section, these are the items of bhakti which are mentioned. Rupa Goswami expands them. Prahlad Maharaj gives 9. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Savadamam Purijaja Mam Ekam Charanam Raja. Mam Eka. Eka means?
One.
Mam Ekam. Sharana. Just surrender. Okay, so how do we do that? What is the elaboration? So the following verse, I'll give you 4. Or actually, it's the previous verse. Mamana bhava ma bhakto. I'll give you 4 to expand that one. To surrender to Krishna, 4 ways. Then from those 4, Prahlad Maharaj gives him the 7th canto, 9. That comes from the 4. And then Rupa Goswami takes the 9 and then turns it into 64. And that is how we serve Krishna. That's why it is the guidebook. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's the guidebook. And what's being discussed here is based on that. Many of those items are there, same items. Because the process is eternal. It doesn't change. We serve Krishna the same way. And details may change, that's all. But the actual process does not change. Everything is given. Because in the spiritual world, how do they serve Krishna? It is called Nitya Seva. Nitya Seva means?
Eternal service.
It doesn't change day to day. Every day they make garlands for Krishna. They don't one day think, oh, let's make something else. It is garlands. Krishna likes flowers, pushpa. How many different types of flowering Krishna's garlands? No, not unlimited. You cannot fit unlimited flowers in a garden. At least five types it describes in Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes seven types of flowers. Five, seven, like that. Different types of flowers. And it's very opulent. So they make beautiful flowers for Krishna. So that is the system. And you see here, in deity worship, that is an item of bhakti, to make the garlands for Krishna. Everything we do here in our sadhana, in the abhideya, in the process, that is aiming at sadhya, or perfection. It is the same process. It doesn't change. So what has been spoken here thousands of years ago? Dhruva Maharaj is performing austerity or doing his devotional service in a particular place. Where is he doing it? Madhuvan. Where is Madhuvan? It's in Vrindavan. There are 12 forests. What are the 12 forests in Vrindavan? That's the main one. Now there are 11 more. Twelve forests in Vrindavan. There are 12. 12 forests means seven on the eastern side. On the western side. On the eastern side there are 5 forests, main forests. Now one of them is Madhuvan. It is just next to the Talavan. Talavan is where Dhanukasura was killed. So Madhuvan. Madhu means honey, very sweet. It's a very beautiful forest. There's 12 forests. Krishna's favorite forest is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the biggest forest, and it's Krishna's favorite forest of the 12. It goes, if you know Braj, if you know Krishna, it goes from Keshigat all the way to Nandagram, that whole area, including Govardhan Hill, that is called Vrindavan. And then there are the other forests, the 12 forests. If you do Braj Mandal Parakram, you'll go through all 12. So Madhuvan, sweet forest. So he sent him there. And if you go there, even to this day, there's a small hill. It's called Dhruv Tila. Small hill. And if you go there, you can see the actual place where Dhruv Maharaj performed these austerities. I did Braj Mandal Parakram, 1994. Walked around 1 month barefoot. We walked maybe 400 kilometers all around all of these 12 forests. I remember we went to this place, Dhruv Tila. In the afternoon, I went and sat on that place, actually on the hill, and I did some reading and study at that place. A very powerful place with Dhruva Maharaj. And we prayed to Dhruva Maharaj to become perfect in our devotional service. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. For devotional service to be successful, it has to be Tivrena. What does Tivrena mean? Akama Sava Kamova, Moksha Kamavadari. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. What is Tivrena? Intense. Has to be intense. You want to become successful in bhakti? It has to become intense. What does that mean? Yeah. That means you join the Melbourne Temple. And if you really want to be intense, you join the Melbourne Temple Brahmachari Ashram. Or Brahmachari Ashram. Intense. Because it is Tivrena. And if you want even higher intensity, you come to Hare Krishna Valley, for sure. Too intense. I tell you, too intense. So this is intense, but it means it has to be intense if you want to get purified. Devotional service has to be intense. It means you have to push yourself up beyond your comfort zone, where you'd normally be comfortable in devotional service. If you don't do that, you won't become sufficiently purified. That's the reality. The false ego will not be burnt. It will not be purified. And therefore, it has to be... Rupa Goswami says this also. It has to be intense. Bhakti Sananda Sarasvati Thakur says it has to be intense. It means we have to take up responsibility in Krishna's service. That's actually when you advance. One sannyasi told me many years ago in Vrindavan, one guru, he said to me, "You only make advancement when you take up responsibility. You have to be responsible. If you don't take up responsibility for the Sankirtan movement, for the preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya, of Prabhupada, you don't get sufficiently purified. It has to be intense. You have to push yourself beyond your comfort zone. Then you get the reciprocation. And then, as Krishna says within the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam vajitam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogamutam. Means within your heart, Krishna will manifest things. But first you have to purify the heart. You have to satisfy the heart. I remember in the past, you know, sometimes I read Prabhupada's books. So I'd sit down to study. But if I wasn't pushing myself in my devotional service, I would read and study, but nothing was manifesting. I wasn't getting realizations. I wasn't getting taste. I wasn't getting understanding. I wasn't realizing things about Krishna. Why? Because I wasn't surrendering enough in my devotional service. And then other times I saw that when I was surrendering sufficiently and pushing myself to take on responsibility to spread the Sankirtan movement, then when I read, so many realizations come. Krishna says that. Buddhi yogamtam. In your heart, everything will manifest. It can only manifest when you purify your heart. So devotional service has to be intense. Bhagavatam says. Whatever the Bhagavatam says, that is reality. First verse of Bhagavatam says, distinguishes reality from illusion. Reality. What is reality? Tivrena. Bhakti yoga. It has to be intense. That's devotional service. If not intense, then go home to your mother. If you don't want to do intense, then go home to the mother and have easy life. She'll cook you chapati and paratha and like that. You can have your achar, your pickle, and you can eat, and you can... But if you want to advance, then you have to push yourself. That's the system. So Dhruva Maharaj, he is doing like that. He comes to Madhavan and he is fixed. He's pushing himself. And now he begins to perform devotional service under the guidance of Narada. Narada says, you do like this, you do like that. These are the different sevas. So in this verse, we see the particular services that he is being asked to do. So quite often we say that he went there just to do tapasya, austerity. But if you look at this section, the description of the items of bhakti he performed, there were many items of bhakti that he performed. He was doing deity worship. That was there. It was one of the items that he was performing. He was chanting Om Namo, Bhagavate, Vasudevaya. That was his mantra, which he was given. Our mantra is the Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He was chanting this mantra to become perfect. So it says here, it is possible to worship a form of the Lord made of... Where did my watch go? Oh, it's there, sorry. It's possible to make to worship the deity made of physical elements such as earth, water, pulp, wood, and metal. So there are eight different elements which you can construct the deity of. What are the eight different elements that you can...
Mind.
Yeah, the mind. Yeah. The wood, jewels, the metal, the earth. It even says paint. You can even paint a picture of the deity like that. I think from memory, I haven't seen the list recently, but I think you can even draw on the earth one picture that you can construct one out of earth like that. The deity can manifest in any of these forms. And particularly, the deity can manifest in the mind. That's called manasa puja. When you read the Nectar of Devotion, there are 64 items of bhakti. Then one of the items of bhakti is manasa puja. You can worship the deity in the mind. And there's a famous story. What was the famous story? Brahmana burnt his finger. That's how intense his meditation was. Actually touched the sweet rod and then looked and then was burnt. Generally, we don't recommend that kind of worship for beginners in devotional service. But as you progress in devotional service, actually the inner meditation becomes even more important than the external. When you're doing the deity worship, it's actually the inner meditation, which is the most important element. But it means you have to become a little bit advanced and purified. In the beginning, you'll worship the deity externally more. But as time goes by, then you'll begin to meditate and manifest more things while meditating internally. And the focus will become more internal. That is called the Manasa Puja. Dhruva Maharaj, he was worshipping very deeply. And he was performing deity worship in the forest. Now it says, in the forest one can make a form with no more than earth and water and worship him according to the above principles. A devotee who has full control over his self. So these are basic principles of bhakti. This is also found in the Upadeshamrita, in the first verse of the Nectar of Instruction. This is what's being mentioned. Everything that is in the writings of the Acharyas, such as Rupa Goswami and the other Acharyas, like the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Devotion, all of these things are coming from the Bhagavatam. So here the Bhagavatam is saying that a devotee has to have full control over his self. What does Rupa Goswami say in the first verse of the Upadeshamrita? You have to have full control over yourself. It's the same thing. It's an elaboration. Here the Bhagavatam just says, have control over yourself. Then Rupa Goswami says, six ways you have to control. Tongue, belly, genitals. They must be controlled. If you want to advance seriously in devotional service, you have to control the three. It means there has to be discipline. Like that. And then mind, anger, and speech must be controlled if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. You can't just speak anything. You can't just say whatever you want. Rupa Goswami speaks about that in the second verse. In the second verse, what does he call just speaking whatever you want? Prajalpa. What is prajalpa? Yeah. Actually, Krishna speaks prajalpa. The gopis speak prajalpa. Prajalpa is an ecstatic speech where they speak like mad people. There is divine or transcendental prajalpa. But the prajalpa we speak is not like that. It's not like that. Our prajalpa is just gramyakata. Gramyakata means whatever's going on in the village. Did India win the cricket? Did Australia actually tamper with the ball? This is important. It's important for the earth. There's 7.3 billion people on this earth. It's very important if the Australian vice captain was tampering with the ball in the South African test. That is important. That will change everyone's life in a significant way. It's called prajalpa. This is the headline of the news. They've been speaking about this for 1 week. Did he do it? Yes, of course he did it. Right? Just prajalpa, it's useless. It doesn't mean anything. It has no significance. Will Donald Trump's wife stay with him? Various important subject matters. Has great significance. Actually does have great significance because it shows how improper the leadership is at this point in time. How impure the leadership is. Because it's proven he's having affairs women coming out in every direction. We had an affair with him, we had an affair with him. Now people are saying to his wife, why are you staying with this guy? Everyone knows he's had so many affairs. And now he's the leader of the free world and you're staying with him. But these are the kind of things they're speaking of. Nothing purifying, nothing elevating. Prajalpa. So you must control your speech. Yes?
How many people are on this earth, did you say?
7.3 billion. 7.3. Used to be 7.2, but now 7.3. On this earth. Right now. So, you have to control the speech. And have to control the mind, and have to control anger. If you don't have control of your mind, you'll become angry. Interesting, because Rupa Goswami, when he chooses the six urges, he could have chosen many different urges or many different items to control, but he very specifically fixed on these six. Anger is such an important emotion to control, because it's very detrimental to devotional service if you don't control your anger. Where does anger come from? It is called Kamanuj. Just like we have Ramanuj. Who is Ramanuj? Lakshman. Rama's younger brother. His name is Ramanuj. Anuj means to follow. Anuj. Anuja. So he's following Ram. So therefore he's known as Ramanuj. Kamanuj. One who follows lust. Who is that? Krota. He's the younger brother. He's always there serving very faithfully. If someone is angry, these days people, they take courses on anger control, anger management. It's actually an industry. So many people are angry. Everyone's disturbed. In Kali Yuga, everyone is disturbed, Bhagavatam says. People are angry. Why are we angry? Because our desires are not fulfilled. I want this. I can't have it. You get angry. You see the children, very easy. You give them something they like, and then you take it away, they become angry. Right? And then adults are also like that. So if someone is angry, that is because their desires. So therefore you have to purify your desires. And give up your selfish desires, and only desire to serve Guru and Krishna. One time Prabhupada said, if you say, I want, that is sense gratification. Sometimes say, I want, I want, I want. That's sense gratification. I want this, I want that. Then you'll be frustrated, then you'll be angry. But if you say, I want to serve Krishna in this way, I want to serve Krishna in that way, I want to serve my guru in this way, I want to serve the devotees in this way, I want to serve Tulsi Devi in this way, then that is purification of desires. And then you won't become angry. You'll only become angry if your service is being impeded. So there's some famous examples of Vaishnavas becoming very angry. What are some of the famous examples? Hanuman became very angry. Arjun, Bhim, very angry. Why? Because their service to Krishna was being stopped. Hanuman jumped all the way to Lanka. And when he got there, he allowed himself to be captured. They heard there was some monkey causing problems. They go and get him. So they got him and they tied him up. And they brought him in front of Ravan. And then he went in front of Ravan. And then he grew big. And he wrapped his tail. You know the monkeys, they have the tails. So he wrapped his tail and he made it like a seat and he sat on his tail. And he sat there. In front of Ravan, huge. He was very angry. And he said, you give back Sita. If you give back Sita, you just give it to me now. I put her on my back. I will jump back across. I'll give it to Ram. Everything is okay. Your city is spared. Your life will be spared. And then Ravana, he chose not to. So then he became angry. So then Ravana said, after you know they had the discussion, Ravana said, now capture him, kill him. So they got his tail, wrapped it, set it on fire. Agni, the fire god, protected Hanuman, because Agni, he gives great respect to Hanuman, so he did not burn his tail. So but with that tail, he jumped all over Lanka, very angrily, and set the whole thing alight. And then he said, we'll be back. And then he jumped back over to, he said, we will come back. First I'll set everything on fire, just to disturb all of you, but then I will come back soon. And when we come back, we'll give you another chance, but if you don't, then we'll become angry. So you can become angry, but only when your service is being impeded. Otherwise, it's sense gratification. And the mind, it says here, the mind must be controlled. If you don't control the mind, you can't make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So then it says, a devotee who has fully controlled his self should be very sober and peaceful. That's how we know who is advanced. How do we know who is advanced in Krishna consciousness? Yeah, if someone is sober and peaceful, that's one way we can tell. How advanced are you? Are you sober? Are you peaceful? If you're always disturbed, then obviously you're not so advanced in Krishna consciousness. But if you're sober, you're peaceful, you're always fixed in Krishna's service, then you are advanced in Krishna consciousness. And must be satisfied simply with eating whatever fruits and vegetables are available in the forest. Prabhupada says, this is quite a well-known purport. Prabhupada says, one of the 26 qualities of devotee is mitabhuk. Mitabhuk. If you look in the list of 26 qualities of devotees, Sanatan Shiksha, when Lord Chaitanya teaches Sanatana Goswami, mitabhuk is one of the 26 qualities of a devotee. What does it mean? A devotee is satisfied with whatever prasad he gets. That's mitabhuk. Means satisfied, eating simply. That is mitabhuk. If you want to advance as a devotee, you have to do it. If you don't do it, the time element will force you to do it. Yeah, I lived in the Brahmacharya ashram here for 8 years. More or less, most of the 8 years, right? So breakfast every day I would have 1 spoon khichdi, 1 puri, halwa, usually curd sabji, bakora, salad, maybe tea, like that. So that's my breakfast every day.
Very simple.
Oh yeah, very simple. So that's my breakfast every day, right? If I eat like that now, I still have the desire to eat like that, but if I eat like that now, I will probably leave my body in about 6 months. But when I was young, I could do that, no problem. But the problem is that if you don't eat simply, in due course of time, the body will naturally just stop you and say, listen, you can't do this anymore. The fire of digestion. And if you eat rich, even when you're young, if you don't exercise properly and burn it off, then when you're older, you will have digestive problems. It will come. So we have to eat simply. We also have to provide the devotees with simple prasadam. It's actually a point. Prabhupada came to Sydney, I think it was 1972. He came, and devotees for lunch, they would go out on Harinam, chanting, doing Harinam. They'd come back for lunch to the temple, and they were having rice-style sabji chapati and big pot of halava every day for lunch. Right? And when Prabhupada said, what are the devotees taking? Which prasad? They described, Prabhupada said, no. He said, halava is once a week. Prabhupada actually said that. He said, it is once a week. Sunday feast, once a week. Prabhupada said, Sunday feast, eat whatever you want, as much as you want. But the rest of the time, simple. And then Prabhupada left, he said only, and they didn't follow. They kept doing halava and you see, you know, always everything is opulent and like that. You can't eat like that every day. Like that. So it says here, Mittabok, if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to eat simply. And it's difficult when you're sitting in a situation where there's always opulent prasad around you. It is difficult. At Hare Krishna Valley, we try to eat more simply. Cook simple. You know, a lot of the time for lunch, we just have khichdi or we have rice dal sabji or something. But like simple prasad, healthy. Like that. It's good for longevity. So as much as possible. So it says here that if you do that, then the tongue will become controlled. Right? Then the belly will become controlled, and then the genitals will become controlled. Because there's a direct connection, especially if you're practicing brahmacharya. Right? And all of us are practicing brahmacharya. Whether you're a grihastha, or you're brahmacharini, or brahmacharya, you have to practice brahmacharya, celibacy. Right? Same. Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur said, a brahmachari grihastha, or grihastha brahmacharya. Same. Which ashram you're in, it's not different. If you want to control the senses, right, control the genitals, you have to control your tongue. There's no control. That's why it says the tongue is the most difficult to control. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, every morning we chant, Sharira vijayam janendriya teko yuvifleva. So it says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the tongue is the most difficult sense to control. But if you can control the tongue, you can control the others much easier. Don't speak whatever you want, don't eat whatever you want. And you can be fixed in Krishna consciousness. You become a Goswami if you control these six urges. If you don't control the six urges, very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness. And we need Goswamis in this world. If devotees become Goswami, then control of the senses, then we can spread the Hare Krishna movement all over the world. The GBC had their meetings recently, 2018, they had their meetings. And one of the discussion topics, I was reading the minutes the other day, is that we need many more gurus in ISKCON. This will be discussed in the next few years on the GBC level. Our leaders are discussing. Because at the moment, they're calculating, if we add up our congregation all over the world, there's about 9 million devotees. With the amount of gurus, initiating gurus we have at the moment in ISKCON, it means every guru would have to have 120,000 disciples each. Right. So obviously that's not going to happen. Yeah. You have to chant on all the beads. And it can't happen. It can't happen. Like, it's not possible. So therefore it has to, practically, ISKCON needs many more, many, hundreds and thousands of gurus. And Prabhupada would say this, hundreds and thousands of gurus. That means devotees in this room will have to become guru. That means. That's the reality. And we're not doing it for ourselves, it is seva. No? Lord Chaitanya says, Yari deke tari kaha Krishna upadesh Amara agyaya guru hana tara edesh. On my order, you become guru. You can say, oh, I'm not qualified. Lord Chaitanya is saying, you do it. On my order, you do it. So we have to become Goswami. We have to become sense control, mind control, all these things. Then we can spread the movement. If we don't do it, then... So this is the system. So this is what's being spoken about here. Dhruva Maharaj is being taught by Narada, you must become a sense control. Then you can advance in Krishna consciousness. So we'll stop here, we'll see if there's any questions or comments what we discussed.
How can we find a balance between intense devotional service and not breaking ourselves?
Yeah, so how can we find a balance between doing intense devotional service but not breaking ourselves? So it's a very good question. There's one letter which Prabhupada wrote. It used to be on the wall just there in the paraphernalia room. It was also in the reception at one point. And one line in that letter, Prabhupada said, be happy and satisfied. Prabhupada, because one devotee wrote to Prabhupada and said, oh, Prabhupada, I've got so much service, I'm in so much anxiety. So, and Prabhupada wrote back, and he said, no. He said, we must be happy and satisfied in our devotional service. It means it has to be balanced. Otherwise, you'll become burnt out. That wasn't Prabhupada's mission or vision of ISKCON. He wanted a happy, satisfied devotee. In the letter, Prabhupada says, I am only creating all of these big projects to keep you engaged. He said, because you're not yet qualified to just sit on the bank of the Ganges in Mayapur and chant Hare Krishna all day. So then I open all these big temples, big projects to give you seva. But he said, actually, I am satisfied if you just preach to one sincere person every day. If you can preach to 600 sincere people every day, okay, that's better. But even if you can just do one, that's okay, Prabhupada's satisfied. So you have to keep yourself balanced. That's your responsibility. And if you feel it's unbalanced, because sometimes it is, I know what it's like. I am a member of ISKCON, so I know what it means to be under pressure sometimes. And it's like that sometimes. It is. There's a lot to do and we're asked to do more and more. But if it is becoming too much, you have to speak to your authorities, the senior devotees you work on. You have to say, Prabhu, you know, we need some balance. Is that okay?
Yeah. It's an unfollowed question. Yeah. How can we judge if the people we're preaching to or your sense are sincere? How do you judge which criteria?
If they're sincere?
Yeah.
How do we judge if the people we are preaching to are sincere? That's the question.
Yeah, and then also how do we judge our hosts?
How do we judge? When we're preaching to someone, it is like when the mother is breastfeeding a child. So when the mother is feeding the baby, if you give too much milk, right, the baby regurgitates, can get sick. If you don't give enough milk, the baby is hungry and gets sick. So mother has to be expert. So Prabhupada said when you're preaching, you have to be like that. You have to be expert. One of the 26 qualities of a devotee is daksha. So we have to be expert. How much do I give someone? Sometimes you're preaching, you can give too much Krishna consciousness. And if you give too much too quickly, the person goes, oh, I don't want this. And if you give too little, they also. So you have to be expert. So it just trial and error. You have to be always sensitive. Give, but not too much. Give, but not too much. You have to make sure they're enthusiastic. Make it enjoyable, make it pleasurable. Like that. Prabhupada said when you bring the children to the temple, it should be fun and pleasurable for the children. Then they'll want to come. Well, they're all here because you're like, do you guys like coming to the temple? Do you like the temple? Is it good fun to come? Do you like it? Yeah, you like it. You like it. Do you like it? Prabhuji, you like it? Yeah. So they like it. They like the temple. It has to be like that. Otherwise they won't want to come. And then when they grow up, they'll say, you made me come. No, and that's fair. That's fair. Because they'll get older. You made me come. And then they'll rebel, which many do. So you have to make it fun. You have to make it enjoyable. You have to like that. That's why I come to the temple. I enjoy it. You know, if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't come. You know, I'd go somewhere else and do something else. No, but I like coming to there. It always has to be enjoyable. That's the nature of Fladini Shakti, of bliss, always has to be blissful. So now, when we're preaching, you have to always make it blissful for everyone. Right? Until you become more surrendered. Right? And then you have to take up responsibility. Right? And then it means sometimes it's more discipline and more hard work and more mind control. So then you said, how do we see, how are we doing and we progressing like that? So you judge by the standards in the Bhagavatam. What's Dhruva Maharaj doing? Can I also do like that? Obviously we can't do what Dhruva Maharaj is doing. But if we can emulate these things in our life, sense control, controlling our eating, controlling our anger, controlling our all these things, then we're progressing. So just by seeing the what's in the Bhagavatam and the nectar of devotion and the nectar of instruction, then you can see how much you're progressing. And if you're not sure how much you're progressing, then ask one of your guides, one of the senior devotees, say, how am I doing? And they'll tell you. But get someone who tells you what you need to hear. You have to get advanced devotees or senior devotees who will tell you what you need to hear. You don't want devotees to just tell you all the time, oh, you're doing so good, oh, you're so good, oh, everything is good. No, that's, what is that? Then we can't progress. It's okay. Any other question? Yes.
What was the story that the Brahmana burnt his finger?
What is the story that the Brahmana burnt his finger? Have you read in the Nectar of Devotion? You haven't heard? So one Brahmana, he was doing Manasa Puja. So in his mind, he was worshipping the deity. And he was cooking for the deity. And he cooked some sweet rice. And then when you cook sweet rice is
hot.
So he put the pot over to the side and he let the sweet rice cool down. So in his mind he was meditating on worshipping the deity. He cooked the sweet rice, it was cooling down. And then he thought, I will see if the sweet rice is cool. Because Prabhupada says you should always offer sweet rice cool. And it should be cool. Although hot sweet rice is very nice, so, you know, but Prabhupada says cool. So cool and hot, both of them. So then in his mind, he put his finger, and when he touched it, it burnt because it was still hot. And then he opened his eyes and his finger was burnt. So it says that his manasa puja was so deep, he was so deeply meditating on Krishna, that even his finger got burnt like that. So that shows that we can, Prabhupada, or the Nectar of Devotion and Prabhupada, they point out that just by worshipping Krishna in the mind, we can become pure devotees. So next time you're meditating on Krishna, be careful you don't burn your finger. Hare Krishna. Okay. Yeah.
So, besides worshipping the deity, we're also worshipping at Shaligram and Tulsi. So, can you tell me last time how Shaligram was?
Shaligram in the form of a stone. How did Krishna manifest
like
in the form
of
a
stone?
It's a whole pastime. We don't really have time to tell it now because it's quite a involved pastime. But you can look it up, or one of the devotees can tell you like the details. But basically, there was some cursing in the spiritual world. Sometimes they say things to each other. So Krishna was cursed, you become a stone. Like that. So then there was some pastime, and then down here on the earth, it was, if something like this happens, then it's Krishna's desire. So one devotee cursed Krishna, you will become a stone. He came into this material world, manifest as Shaligram. So there's self-manifesting Shilas. They're from the Kali Gandaki River, which is deep in the Himalayas, right up high in the Himalayas, where the Ganges begins, and they just manifest. They just there they come. So Krishna is manifest in his different forms in those particular stones, and they can be worshipped because they are non-different from Krishna. He's so you see on our altar here, we have many, many different. We have Lord Nisringadev. Nisringa is there. Vamana is there. Lord Ramachandra is there, Lord Varaha is there, Korma is there. So many of the personalities have come. So you can ask one of the pujaris and he can tell you who is there. When I was a brahmachari, you know, every day when I came before, I used to pray to every single shaligram. I remembered who was who. Now I've forgotten over the years. I'd have to be reminded again. I can't remember who exactly is who, but I used to pray to every single Shaligram Shila. So. Any other question?
When we would be in a court of talk, thank you for the class today, it's very enjoyable. When can we distinguish when it's appropriate to take initiative?
Initiation? Yeah, so the question is, how do we know when to take initiative? How do we know sometimes we may feel inspired to do a particular service, but it hasn't been necessarily given to us by an authority?
Yes.
So should we know if we should do that service or not? So then the basic instruction is that we should check with the authority. You know, because sometimes we'll become inspired to do a particular service. So we go to the authority. We say, I'm inspired to do this service. And the authority says, oh, that's very good. You know, Krishna is inspiring you, go and do it. No? Or other times they may say, no, then maybe that's not the right service. Maybe you should concentrate more on this service. So you need guidance. That's the basic. Any other question?
Dhruva Maharaj did not install the deity, so looks like installing process is optional.
No, because if the deity is... there has to be an installation. There has to be an installation. Sometimes we hear this in ISKCON. We hear deities at home. Devotees have deities at home, and they say installed deities and uninstalled deities. Sometimes you hear these terms amongst devotees. There's no such thing as an uninstalled deity. If you are worshipping the deity regularly, it is installed. The deity has manifest. Krishna is there. So if Dhruva Maharaj created the deity out of earth, there must have been some ceremony to invite the deity, and then the worship was begun and maintained. If you're going to worship a deity in the home, you must have permission from your spiritual masters, from higher authority. Sometimes devotees, they get deities, but there's no permission given. And actually, Prabhupada's preference was that the grihasthas living around the temple serve the deity in the temple, as opposed to having deities in their home. Not that you can't have deities in your home, but if it means that you're worshiping the deity at the home at the expense of worshiping the deity in the temple, Prabhupada's preference was that we worship the deity in the temple. That's our first responsibility. If we live here in Melbourne, our first responsibility is to worship Radha Ballabha, Gaurinathai Jagannath Balaram Samudra. That's our first responsibility. Second responsibility, okay, in your home, you can do it. Any other questions? Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna.